All right. Now come right in. We don't care about noise.
Oh, Ryan Johnson live in studio.
What's up, Brian?
Hello, sir.
Are you all right?
Oh, great. Much better now.
I don't talk in this accent normally.
No.
I talk like this regularly.
Of course you do.
How are you doing?
Sit down, buddy.
Hey, what's up, Brian Opie? Nice to meet you finally.
Man. Fucking rock legend right here.
No.
Oh, yeah. No, matter what you say, you are, sir.
Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Really this morning.
No?
Well, I met a couple of the old boys last night. And
oh, yeah.
Tip a few back, did you?
We did. We knocked a few sherbets back in. It was just lots of fun. Yeah, we're just telling lies and, you know, stuff that guys do. Yeah.
Do you ever get sick of the rock star life? You ever get, like, bored with it?
Well, not really, because I don't do it. You know,
no.
I just, I usually, you know, at home, I go racing, you know, a lot with a team, and you're just one of the guys when you go racing, you know, and I just enjoy the, you know, being a, you know, the excitement of the racing and all that. And then every now and again, I got to come out and do stuff like this, and it just takes us all by surprise.
Yeah.
You know, and when people are going, "Hey man, sign this man, hey man, you," and I'm sitting, I'm going, "Yeah, that's." I get quite embarrassed by the whole thing.
Really?
I'm just.
You're just a regular guy, right?
Wait, you forget you're the lead singer of AC/DC.
And well, no, it's not. It's just all the boys are the same in this band.
Yeah.
It's the celebrity we kind of stand. You know, it's lovely for people to enjoy your music and think that you're the best at what you do. That's
sure.
Fantastic. That's what you aim for in life. But what you're never prepared for is the kids outside the hotel, and you're going, "Oh, shit, I can't go out for a burger."
But
you know, without getting followed by everyone. And it's all great, but it becomes, well, at my age, I just am going to.
But we were watching some clips from live from River Plate. And when you look at the crowd, it is astounding.
Yes.
The amount of people, and it looks like liquid. They are just undulating.
I was seasick.
Yeah, right? I don't doubt
Whoa,
it. But when you see that from the stage, you have to know, like, holy shit, I guess we're pretty damn popular. So you're going to be signing some shit when you go out.
Yeah, I tell you, that was, the audiences around the world for us have been just totally spectacular. And, you know.
Amazing.
And I know every act turns around and says, "Yeah, I want to thank my fans, are the best in the world." Well, that's a generic answer. These guys, the AC/DC fans, the things they do to get there. If you look at the outtakes, some of these 1,200 kilometers with his son hitching, but that's not just with them. They really are the most fascinating fans in the world. I cannot believe them. You'll see them, the same guys in Japan, and you go, "What the hell are you doing here?" I took 2 weeks off from work, and my grandmother lent us the money.
You know what's unique about it? If you look at a lot of bands that have been around as long as you guys have been around, you'll notice their audience has gotten older, less energetic. Sometimes you go to a show and see a band that's been around for a while, and it's like, "Oh, great, fucking grandma's out in the audience." Your audience is moshing. They're fucking going insane.
No,
in
I
front
got jumped
in
with that thought because they're making new fans.
That's
all
what
the time.
I mean. Yeah,
a lot of bands, their fan base stops.
Yep,
and the crowd gets old with the band. But something with AC/DC, there's still very young fans.
It's, well, we are fascinated looking in the audience. We see three generations.
Wow.
And I think one of the things is because we keep bringing out new albums. A lot of these older bands don't.
Yep.
Don't bring out any more new albums, you know, and they're great bands, but I think if you bring out fresh material all the time, it gives them something to say, "Well, I bought this, you know, I got this, I didn't get it off me dad."
Yeah.
You know,
this
isn't me dad's music, this is my music. And it's a fascinating thing, and boy, oh boy, we appreciate it, because we have so much fun, you know, seeing these little 5-year-olds with it, you know, jumping up and down and checking out the titties next door. And again,
yeah.
Only 5 kids, leave it.
It's
too expensive.
Giving you a very lucrative, a good life, too, which is nice, right?
Yeah.
You can kind of do what you want to do in life and never have to worry again.
Yeah, we kind of, and it's the very lucky bit. You know, you can do what you want, and my indulgence is just more the cars. And
you love the cars, man.
I do.
You are a car guy.
I just since I was a kid, though, you know. But now I'm lucky enough to get a chance to race cars, which is it's an expensive hobby, and I realize that. And But that's all I do. I mean, you can never see me on the edge of an end of a fishing pool. Or,
yeah.
I don't have a boat. I don't play golf. Well, not really.
Do the other guys in the band like, hey, motherfucker, get out of these fucking race cars. We get a little nervous.
There was a little worry, but they know that I'm competent. You know, I'm not gonna have a couple of little scrapes now and again. Where
Jimmy gets mad at me because I like cars, love them.
Yeah,
I like driving fast.
Yeah,
hold on. Let me. Are you also an alcoholic? Because we have to tie in all the fucking
I
facts.
Don't drive drunk. As a matter of fact, please, come on now.
Oh boy.
Anthony has a souped-up Saturn.
No, this is my. I got a GT500, but Super Snake Shelby, and this was at Pocono Raceway the other day. This was just this past weekend.
Yeah.
I come off turn three, down the stretch. You could hear the supercharger kicking in, and this is a lot of fun, man. Yeah. But Jimmy doesn't like when I do this. That's fun, right? That's another car starting up. But that's a lot of fun, right?
I've never been to Pocono.
Pocono's great. It's a long straightaway on a kind of a trioval.
I've done Watkins Glen up in New York, and that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, yeah.
What a super track.
So you like road courses, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
He wasn't impressed by the video.
Oh, that's okay.
Well, he wasn't
impressed.
I couldn't hear anything.
He couldn't hear it. He
didn't
have
his headphones on.
Okay.
And a car was going in a straight lane. You see,
you like
to turn.
He likes to turn.
He likes a man's race. That was pussy racing. Gotta say it. It's okay. It was pussy racing.
Brian was being polite there.
Well, your granny can drive in a straight lane.
See, that's why I had to stop.
Of course, your granny can drive in a straight lane.
You were hoping for a big reaction, and you didn't really get much there.
No, I came out of turn three, though. I was making turns. Like turn one, turn two, turn three. That was a straight.
That was straight. That was cute, though, right? He went by and vroom,
vroom, vroom.
Jesus.
Whoops.
See, Brian likes turning.
Yeah, you got to see them in the corners and all that. And especially that's a 500 GT, you said?
Yeah, GT 500. It's been super snaked and worked. I had a Kenny Bell kit put into it. So it's about 800 horsepower.
Yeah, that's got a lot of torques in that car.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've really got to treat them gentle. I just got a Lola T70 Mark I, which is... a 1965 Can-Am car.
Oh.
And that's like, you know, when you drive that, it's like fucking an alligator with a headache. That you really got to take care of.
That can come out from under you real easy.
Yeah, it really can, mate.
Dude,
can I say something about this book? I have no interest in cars. So when I first saw this book, I drive them. But I don't care about cars.
It's going to turn into a compliment.
It's not a bad thing. It's like I looked at it, I'm like, it's a book about cars. All right.
Jimmy's a poofter.
I opened the book, and the fucking first thing is about when he's a kid, and you talk about how the first time you jerked off was like in an army truck, and I was fucking hooked. This book is fucking hilarious. This book is fucking, it's so good, man. I blew through 100 pages the first day.
Oh, thanks, Michelle. Well, it wasn't supposed to be anything else but just a bit of fun.
But it's not just about cars, though. It's about your life with cars.
Absolutely.
It's really great, man.
But it's just, you know, we're doing a Black Ace album. There was nothing to do the first few days for the singer because the musicians are in getting a sound with a producer. You know, they're getting cooling in them. And so one of my friends said, you know, Brian, you tell great after dinner stories. Why don't you write them down? And I said, well, I can't remember anything. I mean, memory's except when I think of cars. If I, you know, like I think of a car gun. When I had the Hillman Hunter, oh, jeez. And I could remember going out in it, going seeing the lads, which pub it was, and it was the strangest
Holy
feeling.
Holy shit.
So I just started writing about cars, which brought the memories back to us. And with other boys in the band and, you know, different things, it's like, you know, Phil, when he's a car fanatic, and when he had his first Ferrari and... You know, he's as mad as a march hare, Phil, when he's driving. As I say in the book, when he's driving, he treats the other road users as his entertainment.
Wait, is he the one that nobody wants to drive with?
Absolutely.
The fucking
terrifying.
The lines.
He's terrifying.
I wrote the line down. It was fucking made me so happy. You said people make excuses to avoid getting in the car. Like yours was, sorry, I got to stay home and rearrange my fridge magnets. And Angus's was that he'd forgotten the riff to Highway to Heaven and had to practice it. This fucking book is really funny, man.
Thanks, man. That's nice of you.
That's really good, man.
See, that it's true, though. You do remember things based on, like, the cars that you've had in your life.
Sure,
so
I do.
It's a great way to put down, like, your memories of your past and growing up and everything.
Well, yeah. You remember how much money you had, even. Yeah. You're sitting there going, oh, I remember I was really broke.
Yeah, I couldn't put gas in the thing.
Yeah, I couldn't put gas in it. And, you know, and I was next door neighbor's car with a tube because I didn't like him.
Siphoning.
You know, getting a bit enough to get us to work the next day.
Yeah,
but it was like that. You know, at times, how many guys have gone into gas stations and said, half a gallon, please.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's what we had to do. Half
or,
a gallon.
Yeah, give
please.
Me a dollar's worth or something.
And yeah, there's a funny part where you're
crawling underneath the car with a hammer because your starter motor's stuck. You have to bang on the starter motor.
Yep, you had to do that.
Just broke. You couldn't get a new starter.
No,
couldn't afford that.
Exhaust pipes, you know, with old cans and some wire
hanger
just
and
anything. Just anything to keep that bugger on the road.
Just keep it running.
But it's everybody had to do it. We weren't all born with a silver spoon in my mouth. You know. We didn't, you know, in America, I find it quite amazing when I see a 16-year-old girl in a 500 Boss Mustang with her iPhone things in. Good. And she's texting. And you're going, Jesus Christ, do you know what's under the hood of that motor?
And she's probably texting him, ironically enough.
And then you see them, you know, obituaries. Carly Thompson, who was the bright light of such and such school, had an accident the other day. What happened? Well, she once again, with American cars, she tried to turn a corner.
Yeah.
Well, no, American cars aren't good at that. You know, especially these big powered ones, unless you get a.
You got to watch
it. Unless you get it roused up.
Yeah.
You get an aftermarket. But
yeah, you got to.
You know, Vipers when. You know, you had to be really careful in those things. I mean, I drove one at Mid-Ohio racetrack just to test it. That thing just snapped out.
The ass end will come right out on you.
It was the worst.
And forget it.
But it looked fabulous. I mean,
it just looked great.
It looked like it was going fast.
On a humid day, there's too much moisture on the road. You just slide out. God forbid it starts raining when you're driving one of those things. Yeah. You got to just,
Oh, a great chapter, too, is when you start attacking people who pimp their cars. I fucking love that you attack those stupid rappers and their dumb gold teeth. Oh, he gave him a fucking beating. It was great. It was nice to read.
Well, thank you very much, and I stand by that.
Yeah.
Like they're going to outthink the people at Mercedes or some other car.
Yeah, I mean, it's just mindless.
Do you need TVs?
Mindless violence is what it is.
Do you need TVs in the doors?
It's
ridiculous.
You know, 4 feet? Four-foot bass speaker. I said, the fuck?
Nothing's more annoying than that.
Basically, all it is look at me, look at me.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, look at me.
Yep.
Come on. You in a corner. Look at me. And I just the coolest dude. And now you're nut.
How often do you race a year?
Usually about, try to get to about 10 race meets a year, you know, from the West Coast to here to Silverstone and in London and Donington, Monte Carlo.
And what kind of racing do you do?
Well, this is called vintage racing, which really isn't vintage, but it's, you know, anything over 5 years old now is vintage because you can't race it professionally anymore because it's just not quick enough.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you do you drive some very fast cars out and very modern and I just love it. It's competitive. It keeps your edge. You know, you have to keep fit to do it because of the G-forces pulling you left and right. And it's just a competition, you know, that I like. And I like to win as well. So that's always good.
How often you win?
Last year, well, I was just after I finished. I had about 3 wins last year.
Nice.
I think 2 seconds. What was it? 2 wins and 3 seconds. But anyway, it was good. I like to win, and I like to come in the top 10. If I don't win, and I've had a good race, makes no difference to me as long as I've had a good race.
How about the other drivers? Are they like, hey, you know, I love the band? Could you sign this?
As I said, I didn't want to come floating in there with the big rig and the big car,
and the
big team. I wanted to earn the respect of the other guys by starting with a small car. and, you know, learning me tread and getting up on through the different classes until I reached the top.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. If you came in looking all like pro.
You know, that's not a cool way to do it.
You don't have respect to the guys, yeah.
That's what we did, and now they're just great friends, and I love to be at the track with these guys. It's the camaraderie is great. It's not like professional racing where everybody's sniping and fighting. You know, people loan people parts. You know, they're going, ah, shit me.
Wow, they'd never do that. Yeah.
My suspension arm's going, yeah, I've got one. Do you want to borrow it? Oh, give us it back at the end of the race.
Right.
Fantastic. It's called cordial. HSR, the racing. It's historic sports car racing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's entertaining. We get the crowds in to see it. Because you see things like 66 vets, about 10 of them coming around the corner.
That's pretty cool.
And listening
to
that noise. Because now race cars don't have any noise. It's like...
Yeah, like that fucking car. Like his car. Just say it, Brian. Yeah. Like his fucking girly machine that he fucking... Yeah.
Shut up, you prick.
Well, he had a big wreck with his
girly
car, too.
Machine. No, that was a big wreck.
Why don't you tell Brian about your big wreck?
That is true. Talk about taking corners.
Yeah, he took a corner, Brian. Why don't you share with Brian Johnson your experience?
Two racers. The tires were a little cold. It was very cold out. The road had sand on it because they had sanded because it was snowing.
Sure.
And the ass end came out a little bit, and I might have kissed the guardrail.
You didn't listen to your crew, did you? You got to listen to the crew again.
Brian,
two laps, I was on my way
to the bank.
Brian,
he was going to the bank in Long Island.
Ask him how fast he was going, Brian Johnson.
I wasn't going fast. I was just shifting.
Come on.
I was probably doing like 25 miles an hour.
25? Yeah.
Nothing. I was on the service road of the expressway.
You won't get hurt if you run that fast into something.
I know. That's why they're making it sound like
I blew a sneaker once running at 25 miles an hour. Jesus Christ, that's not quick.
Making me out to be asshole.
Well, you're relating a little too much with Brian Johnson.
No, I'm not. I'm just trying it
a little bit.
Next time we're up at Watkins Glen, me son, I'm going to get in touch with you, and you've got to come up and see, and we'll try to get you in one of the team cars.
Oh, that would be
nice.
And
we've got a couple of two-seaters there, and I'll take you around first of all. We'll tighten you in, show you the lane, and then get in with you, and we'll let you try a couple
and
of laps.
Take
of Watkins
a couple
Glen.
Of laps? I would love that. Watkins Glen, man.
Yeah, it's a scary one.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
Sounds it. Man, you really, I didn't know you were this much into racing.
Oh, yes.
Do you own these cars? Do you own a lot of... There's photos in the middle of the book of a bunch of beautiful cars. You own all of them?
No, I don't own all of them. That's just car pornography to me.
Oh, yeah. It's just car porno.
I love it. It gets my nipples hard. Yeah. You know what I mean, son?
I certainly do.
What do you... have you had to do anything over the years for your voice? Because obviously AC/DC is known, you know, you are known for having that voice.
Yeah.
And it seems like a very tough voice to maintain.
No. I don't do a bloody thing.
That's great.
I know that, you know, I've been to see other bands and, you know, the backstage and all that, and I'll hear the singer and he'll be off in some room going, la, la, ha, ha, ha. Now listen, the fuck, what's he doing?
You can curse.
You got a
you
flu?
Can curse.
Have you got a flu or something? He's going, no, that's John warming up, you know. Thing from special speech therapist, you know. So it's different. And I got in, I still do it, and the guys will be getting ready, and I just walk into the shower and go, ee-yoo! Right, I'm ready. That's it.
That's all you do.
That's all I do. If I can hit that note or that clarity,
you're right.
That's my voice is good. Jeez, I hope I didn't definitely. But
no, that's great.
I want you to do more of that.
Yeah. Basically, that's all you do. And that's all I need to do. Because then I know it's there. And on we go. You know, it just balls out.
And then you have a little crackling, you know, like it might be a tough night. Have you had those nights where it's like, oh.
Well, you know, if you've done a lot of gigs in a row and, you know, you're tired, you know, You just got to pull out that extra 10%.
Right.
You just got to get over and get it on. But you do it.
Mm.
You know, you do it because it's AC/DC, and AC/DC go 100%, if not more. And if you don't do it, you just look like a wimp.
Yeah.
You know, you're left behind. You know, it's like in the snow. You know, you just go with the boys, and it's easy, you know, really. You know, they just pull you along with them. It's just got this energy on stage that I can't ever describe.
Oh, that's obvious,
what it is. But it's like I said the other day to somebody, said, we were talking about the voice, and I just said, well, even when I'm not with AC/DC and I've done a couple of charity gigs with other, you know, great musicians, my voice never sounds the same.
Mm.
I mean, it's all right and it's up there, but once I get together with the boys again, something, you know, say rehearsing for an album or something, and they start playing, this thing comes out that didn't belong to me, but I'll use it while it's there, you know what I mean?
Wow, that's something,
and
yeah.
It is. Yeah. It's just a strange thing, the way these guys play and the energy, even when they're just sitting down and rehearsing, it's quite phenomenal.
So right in your comfort zone, too.
Yeah, it is. I love it.
Yeah, you feel comfortable.
After Bond died... and you replace a guy who's, you know, pretty legendary and loved singer. Is there a feeling when you go into a band like, I'm not going to be able to live up to this, or the fans are never going to, like, when did you realize the fans were going to kind of accept you as the lead singer?
Well, you know, obviously the first time I went out, you know, I was obviously worried because he was a very loved man, and quite rightly so. He was a genius, the kid. And it was the boys that were great. They'd just come up and just said, now listen, John, that's our first gig. We're playing in Belgium. He says, it's our first gig. We're just going to do it's a small one. There's only 2,000 kids here, so we'll let you get bedded in, you know. And I was going, okay, then. And then it came back and they said, by the way, there's an extra 2,000 kids here. It was one of them exposition centers. And they just moved the walls and it was fun. In the end, it was 10,000 people.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
And I was sitting going, and of course, there was delays. Now I'm going, And I was getting a bit nervous. And on we went, and I went out. And, of course, it was the first time the boys had played since Bond's death. And the placards for Bond
were
just everywhere. But right in the middle, there was one big one from the fan club just said, good luck, Brian.
Oh, wow.
It was all it took.
Wow.
So
was Back in Black out at this point, or is it before?
Yes, it had just come out. And so when we sang Back in Black, the first reaction to it was like, they didn't know what it was.
Just very polite.
But the first two songs we did, I'll never forget as long as I live, we did Bad Boy Boogie and Hell in a Bad Place to Be, one after the other, and I sang the words to Bad Boy Boogie in both songs. I was so nervous.
Oh, shit.
That's a hell of a start.
This is not right. But my brain was full. I was going, this is, because we didn't have machines then. Right. The words, it was just, I just packed this all. I'd learned all these words. The occasion was just so big, you know.
What did the guys do?
They just laughed and played. They just played on.
What did they? Yeah, I know they're that type of band. But what did they say to you afterwards? Did they just bust your balls?
Anything. No, they didn't bust me balls at all. They just said, "Nice one, Jonah," because they knew what I was going through. And,
I bet. Yeah,
but it was.
They call you John. It's Jonna, because that's in the book a lot. Is that a
Jonah?
For Johnson.
For Johnson, that's...
I just figured out as I was asking him why they call him that, and then I realized what an asshole question that was.
Yeah. Jonah is for Johnson. Everybody gets called. If you're called Gary, you're called Gaza. You know, it's just what they do in England. You know, that's it.
So this is a kind of an off the subject question, but it's the second question, fourth question I wrote. What is the best car you've gotten a blowjob in?
He writes it down.
I did write that down.
Yes,
because he talked. Brian, he's open. He talked about like fucking banging chicks and their feet hanging out of the fucking. It's really.
I can't remember. I know. And I've just told you that when you mentioned cars, I remember everything. And
all right, say Saturn. Anything come to mind if we say Saturn?
It had to be a Jag. It had to be a Jaguar. Well, I was driving.
Oh shit! Yeah,
in France.
Those are
really.
It's coming to him.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no. But your legs get twitching sometimes.
He's been blown in so many great cars. That's the beauty of being a rock star. Is like, well, how many great cars have I been blown in? Like for me, the list is very short. Fucking a Saturn and my BMW truck, and that's about it. I saw McCartney.
Saturn.
I drove a Saturn for a long time. The Nortons are Saturn people. We had Saturns, and that we were just, you know, very.
Thank God they're extinct now, aren't they?
Are they?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I got a lot of fucking hookers in that car.
Right.
Jimmy got a lot of hookers.
A lot
Saturn.
Of prostitutes in the Saturn. Oh yeah, I mean it's really. You'd be surprised because it's not a great car, so you don't care
well,
a fucking
it's nice
hooker
to know
feed.
You're sharing your wealth.
A few daddies too, Brian.
No. They're just
few dad.
No, I'm not going to tell Brian about trannies. Come on, he doesn't want to hear about that, do you?
No, me neither. No.
Yeah. We all make mistakes. You know how
nurse, curtains, screens, nurse, quickly.
Hey, where's the band at these days? What's the schedule?
We met up a couple of weeks ago in London, and you know, for the premiere of the River Plate thing, we had a big premiere. That was lots of fun. And we've just sat and we're having a talk about what we're going to do and all of this. And it was fun to be with the lads again, you know, after a few months. And, you know, and we decided on absolutely nothing. Like, we just sit there and have a good talk, but never decide on anything.
Do you guys get
But it? Knowing that, that talk is the step.
Right. Do you get itching to get to back get out there?
Yeah, sometimes.
Start getting the itch?
Sometimes. The only thing you don't want to do is all that traveling again. The bit on the stage, that's a doddle. That's brilliant. That's 2 hours of hard work, but fantastic reward, you know. And then the other 22 hours is just a pain in the ass. You know, it's just every day, you know, of the gig, you know, rice and chicken at 2 o'clock to get us through till 9 o'clock. Water all day long, bottles and bottles of water. And then on the stage. And then that's great. And then the next day, exactly the same. You know, get on a plane, fly somewhere, get there. And it just goes there. And that's the thing that kills you, is the travel. And that sounds glamorous to some people.
But it's just a grind, huh?
Oh, it is. Just a grind. But thankfully, it's the bit on the stage that makes it all worthwhile. You know, it's fun.
Yeah,
that's the fun bit.
Yeah, why would you go through all the other crap if it wasn't so much fun, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any? There's a line in the book too, where you say it's almost as something as Gene Simmons' next career move. Do you and Gene not get along, or do you like him, or do you kind of you not too crazy for him?
I don't know the lad. Mm-hmm. I don't know the boy.
We do. He seems a bit of a jackass.
Well, two out of three of us think that.
I just read the line in the book, so I was wondering if you guys ever had any, or if you just think
it's just the lad does a lot of different things.
Oh, okay.
And that's why I said it's...
Not fond of all of them, though.
Well, that's why I said what I said. It's funny.
Because it's funny, damn it.
Yeah, oh, by the way, I learned that Chuck Berry was a cunt. I never knew that. That was the most important lesson I learned in the book. You guys opened for him or something? Or you did a gig with him?
Yeah, I was in a band called Geordie, and Chuck Berry's my hero. You know, he was just one of the greatest rock and roll writers and singers in the world. We went in Germany on a tour with my little band Geordie, and he used all our equipment for a week, free. We let him have it because we were such awe, you know. And at the end of the week, he was sitting in his car, and I said, "Could I have an autograph, Mister?"
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he went, "I don't want autograph a day, and I've already signed it." I went, "Well, it's me, Brian. I was singing the other band. He'd been using our equipment." He went, "I don't care."
Oh, man, what a prick.
Mean twat. it was just one of them things. But, you know, it's like the old saying, never meet your heroes.
Really,
you'll always be disappointed.
He wasn't the nicest man, I think, in life.
A little bitter. A little bitter.
I think he hated everybody.
Yeah, that seems to be what it is.
I didn't take it personal.
we actually have to wrap up. You got to go to, Brewer, right?
Yeah, you know Brewer real well.
Oh, there, Jimmy. Oh, there you go, Jimmy.
And then you got me again on the Boneyard. I'm doing you again.
On the Boneyard?
Hoo-ah! By the way, the book is called, I'm being very honest when I tell you, the book is hilarious. And I said I have no interest in cars because you don't have to have an interest in cars to like this. It's like... The way you tie it in is fucking. It's a truly
funny
book,
guy.
And it's interesting.
Please, you liked it.
I loved it. I'm on page right now. Not that you give a shit. I'm on page 122. I fucking blew through 100 pages.
Wow, you're halfway through.
Yeah. So
book. Good lads.
Thank you, Brian.
So much, man.
Hey, lads. Thank you very much.
Blast.
Can't wait to have you back, Brian.
You,
this was great.
Swear so professionally.
Oh yeah.